All right, good morning again. I trust you had a blessed Thanksgiving. I certainly did. If we were to go around the room and ask why your Thanksgiving was blessed, we would receive several answers: family, of course, and friends, and food, and maybe just being grateful. You may find this hard to believe that there are those who would take an issue with using the term blessed. Recent social media has posted several comments about using the term blessed. It stems from a blogger who posted an article about using the term blessed so much. The fellow's name is Scott Dainmiller, and he's a writer, blogger, worship leader, and former missionary with the Presbyterian Church, and his article talks about the way Christians use the term blessed. The title of the article is "The One Thing Christians Should Stop Saying." He writes in part, "I've noticed a trend among Christians, myself included, and it troubles me. Our rote response to material windfalls is to call ourselves blessed, like the amen at the end of a prayer. This new car is such a blessing. Finally closed on the house, feeling blessed. Just got back from a missions trip, realized how blessed we are here in this country." He says, on the surface, the phrase seems harmless, faithful even. Why wouldn't I want to give God the glory for everything I have? Isn't that the right thing to do? Later on in the article, he states, "First, when I say that my material fortune is a result of God's blessing, it reduces the Almighty to some sort of skybound wish-granting fairy who spends his day randomly bestowing cars and cash upon his followers." Amen. Amen. I think he's missing a point, but move on. You know? There is a part of this article that with me that agrees with Dainmiller. If we attribute all of our material goods to God's blessing, and we're going to kind of pick that apart a little bit, but you know, how does that correlate to the believer that has lost his job or lost his home, and we're saying we're so blessed financially or whatever is happening in our life, and how do you balance that out in the tension? And are blessings a sign of God's approval of you or your lifestyle? What is it with this term blessing? And I've noticed that it's not only Christians lately who have used or are using the term blessed. I've heard people on TV and other places lightly use the word blessed, and it has no inference to God whatsoever. It's become sort of a popular word, a symbol of spirituality almost in some circles. Now, personally, I love the word blessed. I've used it for years, and I use it very purposely with significance. I always sign have for years my email correspondence with "be blessed." Other correspondence, I may say blessings. I have prayed with people and spoke over them the blessings of God, or "be blessed." And because I use the term often and intend it to be a godly impartation of the blessing of God in someone's life, I have been frustrated when I see the term used lightly or some sort of spirituality without inferring the blessings of our glorious and almighty God, as if it's just some little expression. I use the term specifically and purposely because it is scriptural and it's a biblical term that God intended. So I want to look a little bit this morning at what God has to say about blessings. Where do we first see the word? What does it mean when we say, "I'm so blessed," or we ask for the blessings of God? And the first place we see this blessed from God is in creation. And when you look at the story of creation, I've said many times that God creates first what was needed to sustain what was coming after. He creates life first, you know, I mean, what needed the stuff to provide for life, rather. He's a provider. Provides ahead for what's needed. He creates light, sky, dry land, vegetation, the stars, you know, and on the fifth day, he creates life. And we find this in Genesis 1:20. "Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind, every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." I think it's interesting here that God's blessing was a spoken blessing. something he spoke over the creatures. It's spoken and it's specific. And we'll see as we work through this, I believe we're in good company when we begin to speak the blessings of God into somebody's life. So God creates life, creatures and sea creatures and land creatures, and he speaks a blessing over them. And then God creates man in verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." When you consider the impact of God speaking a blessing, the same one that spoke the worlds into existence, imagine God blessing man. You begin, I think, to hopefully see the significance of the term. And I find it interesting that, if you will, he spoke over the creation in general, speak over the creatures, the fish and the living things, and he spoke over them, blessed them, but he said to man, he spoke directly to man and blessed them. God blessed them and said to them. That's very interesting. When God blessed the first living creatures, he blessed them saying, "Be fruitful and multiply." His blessing was specific and had a purpose. And notice the intent on God for blessing man as well. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number." So be fruitful didn't mean just increasing in number. "Fill the earth, but subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." I mean, there's so much going on here in the blessings of God. There's a richness of life here that is happening in God's blessing. Be fruitful, increase, subdue, rule. I mean, there's so much richness here. And God speaks this blessing in a man's life, and you begin to see that we lost a lot in the fall, this rule and dominion of man, and it's regained, I believe, at the cross in the grace of God. When the story of man continues, God desire to establish a covenant with man with the intent of having a personal relationship and with blessing man. In Genesis 9, God blesses Noah and his sons. And then the next time we see God's blessing, we find it in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" It's interesting here that Abraham was blessed by God, and he was also to be a blessing to others. Now, where does this blessing stem from? It stems from his relationship with God. That's the origin of God's blessing Abraham in his relationship. And out of that relationship, Abraham not only found God's blessing, but he became a blessing to others around them, and others were blessed because they were a blessing to Abraham. Do you see that in that scripture? God is really saying, literally, "I will bless you, you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you." Who wouldn't sign up for that? You know, talk about that life for a moment. God is saying, "I will bless you, and you shall be a blessing. And furthermore, I will bless everybody that blesses you." This unique, wonderful relationship and this understanding of the blessing of God. Now, let's stop for a moment. Listen carefully before we get too far ahead of ourselves. I don't want to miss this. Are you seeing what your relationship with God is supposed to be like? Put your name in here as a believer in Christ. God desires this in his relationships. Put your name in here. I will bless you, you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. It's a relationship circle, if you will. It begins to put God's blessings in place, in perspective. And I believe it makes material gain pale by comparison. This blessings of God. I think it gives us an understanding of how far off the prosperity preachers are, that their message is only about the blessings of God and the prosperity of God. And I'm not saying God's blessing will not bring prosperity. It will, and we'll look at that in a little bit. But I believe this understanding of the blessings of God highlights a relationship with God. Relationship is first and foremost. And when you think about the blessings of God, I mean, how many desire God's blessing? I mean, there is nothing more we want in our life than God to bless our life. And do we really understand all that means when we say, Lord, bless my life? And I think there's something else going on here in Genesis 12 and helps us understand God's blessing and the impact of it. And we see it in verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And all the families of the earth, you shall be blessed. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. How many desire a curse? Nobody. And we begin to see the impact of the opposite of blessing. The opposite of blessing is a curse, and curse is an incredibly strong word. Personally, I'll take the blessing. Now, to understand the impact, to begin to get an idea of the blessing of God and what the idea of curse is, the curse, if you will, we only need to find out where the first curse is mentioned in Scripture, because it really highlights something. The first curse, the first one cursed, is the devil. Because of Satan's deception with man, God speaks a curse over Satan. Genesis 3:14. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. Satan is cursed. And the wording here and the understanding of it is he's considered greatly degraded. He's the lowest of the most contemptible animal. You are cursed more than all cattle and over every beast of the field, and you'll no longer stand upright, if you will. You'll crawl on your belly. Nothing will touch you. You'll eat dust. I mean, that's a significant fall and a significant curse, if you will. The wording is very strongly. So if curse is very strong and the opposite of a curse is a blessing, you begin to understand that blessing is a good thing and has an understanding of good with it, the blessings of God. And the blessings of God can include a good life. It's an overflow of a relationship with God. But material blessing is relative. I mean, what's blessed? We've had times when we didn't know how we were going to put groceries on the table for the kids. And we were blessed when somebody gave us groceries. And we've had times when we've been able to help others. Is one blessing better than the other? I mean, I know what side I'd rather be on. We all know that. But blessing is relative. We're blessed to live in this country, but that doesn't mean that someone living in a third world country with incredible poverty does not experience God's blessing. They will, but it's relative. I can take you on a missions trip where you meet people living on less than $5 a day with a love for God that serve him with a passion that will humble you. The service and obedience to God can be a lesson to all of us. And how arrogant of us to look at the blessing we receive by being born in this country and contribute our material things as God expressing his love and appreciation towards us. Now, I'm not saying that the things we have and the things we acquire aren't the blessings of God, but how do we keep this all in perspective? What does that say to the brother or sister struggling in an impoverished land that is sold out to God? We should be grateful for our material blessing, we should be grateful and accountable. Understanding that. Do we heap good on ourselves only for us to enjoy, or are we helping others with it? What comes first and foremost? Paul exhorted Timothy regarding this. We find it in 1 Timothy 6. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth. Now, some of you are sitting there going, man, I am far from rich. Until we take you elsewhere in the world, and you'll see just how rich you really are. In God's economy. We've talked about this in times past. When God looks down on the world, 80% of God's people, 80% of people live in abject poverty. We've talked about the figures in the past. It's incredible. So command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves, there's your riches, as a firm foundation for the coming age, so they may take hold of the life that is truly life. If you look at the scripture, you'll notice that God doesn't have a problem with you having nice things. Put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. I mean, God blesses riches. He can bring things that you can just enjoy. He doesn't have a problem with that. And that said, it says we are to be generous and willing to share, rich in good works and not material gain. Where does God estimate your value and your blessings? The focus is on being a blessing. I will bless you, you shall be a blessing. You are blessed to be a blessing. And consider the contrast here in 1 Timothy. First, your hope should be rooted in God, not on wealth or material things, which will fade or pass away. Your hope should be rooted in God. Second, God doesn't look at your bank account to understand or establish your wealth. He doesn't look at your money, your possessions to determine how wealthy you are. He looks at your good deeds. Your blessings you bestow on others determine your wealth. Command them to do good and be rich in good deeds. And be generous and willing to share. We're blessed to be a blessing. You can be a blessing to others in many, many ways. Certainly, we can bless others by giving of our finances. That's a given. And certainly, that's very appropriate. Be generous and willing to share. But what does it mean to be rich in good deeds? Your richness in good deeds can be accomplished in countless areas. I mean, you can start with simply, are you an encourager? Do you look ways to elevate somebody when they're down and when they're struggling? Are you quick to offer somebody help when they need a hand or are struggling? I mean, you would be surprised. I did just a quick look this week. How many scriptures talks about works or the good works or doing the works of God? We know we're not saved by works. We understand that. But there's something about, as a believer, that we're supposed to go about being a blessing. Your good works become a blessing to others. Countless ways to be rich in good works. God blessed man in the very beginning. And he desires to bless you in every way, including financially. He desires to bless you. He blessed man from the start. In the Old Testament, if we look at Deuteronomy 28, we read there that if the people would obey God, he would pour incredible blessings on them. And if you took time to go through it, it's amazing. They would be blessed going in and going out. He would open the heavens. Their barns would be full. Their livestock would flourish. Literally would be abundantly blessed, tied to obedience. In the Old Testament, if you're obedient, you'll be blessed beyond measure. You'll have all the riches, all the good things of life, tied to obedience. God shifts his focus from obedience to relationship in the New Testament. If anything, God's blessings increase in the New Testament. Our New Testament relationship is not based on works or absolute law and obedience. Our New Testament relationship moves from obedience because of law and works to obedience because of love and grace. It doesn't mean that we aren't to obey God. It doesn't mean we do whatever we want to do. We want to serve and we want to obey the things of God, but it's an entirely different thing. It's not like if I can perform the law, I will be good, I will be perfect, and it's all tied to obedience. But I can obey God and serve God because of his grace and because I love him. We serve and glorify God because of who he is and what he's done for us and the relationship we have with him. Scripture said his love and his word is written in our hearts and his blessings are poured out upon us because of his grace and love. Our obedience to his word and his will is because of our love for him and his grace in our life that enables us to bless the heart of God. And we're not even going to begin to look into just yet how we can bless God. We're blessed to be a blessing to others and we can bless God. So this term Christians should stop using, I'm blessed. I think we should understand really what it means and use it in the right place. His blessing in our lives are because of his grace in our lives and his incredible love he has for us. Some seem to want Christians to stop saying they are blessed. I don't agree. I want to shout the blessings of the Lord. I want to acknowledge the blessings of God, and I want to speak the blessing of God into your life and other people's lives as well. Only I want the focus to be on God and not the blessings. I also want to look for many blessings in my life that I so often tend to overlook. We do look at just the material gain of goods and consider the blessings of God. And I guess when you've been places when you didn't have the material blessings or gains, you look at it and say, I'm blessed. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but how many other blessings do we have in our life that are clearly a blessing from God? And we just get caught up in the wrong thing. We have countless blessings in our lives. We just don't recognize them. Came across a short video I want to share with you. I think it helps us to see what a real blessing from God looks like.
Thank you.
How many would say that young man feels blessed? Lives in a hut, impoverished. I mean, how much more poverty? But you'd be hard-pressed not to call him blessed. He wouldn't see that a blessing. And this is from the Ugandan Organization for Deaf People. It's not even tied to any Christian organization that I could tell. There's a tremendous amount of deaf in the country because a lot of diseases are not protected from and causes deafness. And from the little 8-year-old it was to the 80-year-old woman. And it's just, to me, it's staggering, you know. Said we often see the material gain in our life as the blessings of God, and it's clearly, that's it. Patrick received a blessing that no money could buy that will change his life. God's blessings are relative. We need to look at the many blessings God puts in our lives and praise him for them. And we need to have a better understanding of what it means for God to bless us and for us to bless others. It's time to desire to be a blessing, to fully bless others in every way, and to graciously and gratefully receive God's blessings in our life. This term, blessed and I'm blessed, I think we need to be a little more cautious with it, but shout it out at the same time when we give God the glory. Amen? I invite the worship team to come forward. You know, it's interesting that when you really begin to look at it, that all the blessings of God are tied to relationship with him. We are blessed to be in Christ. You see scripture after scripture that talks about being in Christ. One of Paul's favorite sayings almost was in Christ and in him. To have our sins washed clean, to know God, to know who he is. And our relationship with God goes so much farther than we often think. It's meant to be shared, to share Christ and to share his blessings. God says, I will bless you, you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. I will bless you, you shall be a blessing, you are blessed to be a blessing. The focus is on being a blessing as well. Let's worship our God together this morning.